Okay, there we go. Okay, pray with me for a moment and let us get started. Heavenly Father, we want to just say thank you so much for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for the chance to just come together in this this space, in this place, and to connect with those that would be listening as well. We just ask that as we open your word this day, as we spend some time connecting to and walking in the truth as immortal beings here in this temporal reality, we ask that you would quicken us by your Spirit to understand and to know that which is true and that which is real, that which comes from you, and how we're to relate to it in this window, this place that we find ourselves at this time. So, Father, we just would ask that you would quicken us, and we commit this time into your hands. We ask that you would be with us and be with everyone that hears this, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Okay. So, today is part three. I'm going to do part three, and we're going to do a little bit of a recap as well. Part three, we've been talking about the simulation. Now, I know people, let's go to Revelation 21. We're going to start with that. And this is one of the early scriptures that said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." All right? Okay. So remember we talked about the beast that came out of the sea, that was the previous one, the previous series. Now, when we get into new heaven, new earth, we talk about that there is no more sea. So there is no more of that old place of which these things came out of. So now one thing when we look at the scriptures we mentioned before was that when you look at the start and you look at the end, you see that everything started very well. And we see that at the end of this, everything ends very well. Mm-hmm. But there's some rockiness in between, right? There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of human experience in between. But we know that things started well, and we know that things end well. And so in that process, part of our own journey and part of what we experience here, I may use this whiteboard a little bit today, but... So everything started well, and everything ends well, right? So there is that, you know, quote unquote beginning. Now here's the thing about it. Sometimes people ask about the beginning, and they ask about the end, right? When's the end of times? When is all this, you know? But then who really knows about the beginning to be able to then ask about the end? You know, who was here at the beginning to be able to even bring that up? Yet as people get so focused on, the end times, right? Okay, what's going to happen? Who's this going to be? Who's the man of perdition? But where were we in the start? One thing that we look at, we have to understand from comprehend. I'm using the word understand less and less, right? To understand legal concept means to stand under. And if you stand under something, that means that you submit yourself to whatever that jurisdiction and whatever that knowledge, whatever that... So that's why when you ask a child, a parent asks the child, do you understand? You know, right? Like, you can't do that. Do you understand? That's actually an appropriate use, because that child is standing under that jurisdiction of that home and that parent and that family, right? But when you are in a false construct... And a false reality, if you understand a falsehood, a lie, you bring yourself in subjection to that which is not real. And so we're talking a little bit about that which is not real, right? Versus that which is real. So part of comprehension that's important is for us to recognize who we are in this sensory construct that we find ourselves in. So the last two, so we'll do a little recap. The last couple of times, some of the things that we established, and if you've people that are maybe hearing this for the first time, they can go back and check if they really want to go through those earlier two. But we are immortal beings, everlasting beings, that find ourselves in a temporal, transitory place right now. So this is very important to make this distinction. We, as immortal beings, find ourselves in a place that is temporal. A few different ways that we can determine that, we comprehend that, is where was everybody 200 years ago that where are they today? They're not around. We know people that were here, and now they're not here anymore. And then we ourselves are transiting through here. So we are experiencing certain things in this reality, this paradigm, and then we're not going to be here, right? So we all know that. Now, a lot of people get uncomfortable with that because they feel like it's an unknown, and death for them can be an unknown. But actually, when you come into a knowing and an understanding, it's not something to be afraid of. It's actually something just that you say, okay, I get it. Because the eternal part of you continues on. That which is everlasting, the immortal sense of who you are, that continues on. The question of how you relate to this paradigm and this construct is the question. But we do know that this thing that we find ourselves in, that our senses are surrounded by on a day-to-day basis, is not real. And though it seems real, because you can touch it, you smell, you see, you taste, you it's around you, but yet, where do you go when you go to sleep? You go to sleep, and what dimension do you go into, do you shift into, and then you come back, right? Where is that grandparent that you had, where did they go? They were here and now they're not, right? So we have plenty of signs to show us that, but yet we all come back here for a window of time with others in an informed field and conduct ourselves in and around this. But what's going on in this informed field? How does it happen? And what takes place? So these are some of the things that we've been discussing in terms of the simulation, right? Now so one more thing that I want to establish for us of who we are in this construct. So go to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's go to, let's see here. Let's just start with verse 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and in the end of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Okay, verse 1 through 6. Now I want to emphasize for this part here, verse 6. So we are seated in heavenly places, right? So when does that happen? When is that happening? So if you are an immortal being, does that happen right now? So a lot of people talk about this in terms of post-death, right? And this is where back to timelines and to the way versus the difference between you being an interdimensional being and being, because you can be simultaneously, or you even know this from your own mind. How many of you have been in, you're in one place, but your mind is thinking about something else, right? Okay? Yeah, okay. Now you even here, right? Even here, you can be in one place and your mind is somewhere else. You're physically there, but your mind is somewhere else. And people say, "Hey, man, what do you think? Are you listening? You're in a meeting and people snapping. Hey, you're in class. Some kid. Hey, what are you doing?" Like, because they are physically in one place, but their mind is somewhere else. Now this is just a very simple, but you as an interdimensional being, you as that which is immortal and eternal, you are seated in heavenly places now, because that is actually the as an eternal, as an immortal being, you are present there, but yet you find yourself here. Now Jesus, who became what? The Word was made what? Flesh, and came and dwelt among us. Did he cease to be the Most High when he became flesh? Did he cease to be? But he came into this dimension for a reason, for a purpose, and in that process showed us how to do it. And, you know, so there was that entire element around who he was here. But we, as immortal beings, also come into this space for a reason, for a season, for a purpose, for a time. And this is part of our personal experience of what we come through. But that doesn't change your eternal state and being, which is a joint heir, a co-heir in Christ Jesus. Now, who is Christ? We said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? So he is truth. So he's the embodiment of truth. So you are a co-heir in that space, in that you are, that's who you truly are. And the restoration of who you truly are is part of our journey that we go through here, and also part of what the simulation seeks to keep you away from, of the reality of who you are. So, you know, both of you, you know, that and others that have looked at the issue around, say, trafficking, right? So the issue of human trafficking. So in what is the first thing that they do? They try to take away your identity, right? So they take away your identity and try to give you a different, make you believe something else about who you are, get you to relate to your being in a different way, right? Okay, so, and that is a big part of what the reality, the sensory construct that we're around, seeks to do as well, is to get you to believe and to participate in a lie through either implied consent or purposeful, deliberate consent to a system. Now, we talked about consent last, in fact, I'm just going to pull up that definition really quick. Because I know we've got people listening online right now too. The issue of consent. Okay, so here's Black's Dictionary, and I told you guys I like using the old stuff. This is from 1891, because they've been rewriting stuff all the time. This is what consent is, 1891. A concurrence of wills, express consent, is that directly given, either via voice or in writing. Implied consent is that manifest by signs, actions, or facts, or by inactions or silence, which raise a presumption that the consent has been given. Right? Okay, so it's one thing to be lied to. It's another thing to consent to the lie. Right? So what is the simulation? Now, this is just a working definition that we started with last week. What is the simulation? It is a mental, sensory, environmental overlay on top of what is real to convince you of a lie for the purpose of control, to harvest your soul, your power, your creative ability, your attention, your labor, your focus, to refine a better mousetrap for those who will come after you. Right? So that was the definition that we used for the simulation last time. Should I say it one more time?
Yes.
Okay, so what is the simulation? It is a mental, sensory, environmental overlay on top of what is real to convince you of a lie for the purpose of control, to harvest your soul, your power, your creative ability, your attention, your labor, your focus, to refine a better mousetrap for those who will come after you. So now that is when we start talking about, you know, a simulation of what that is, and there's different in different either religious constructs or philosophies around the world, the concept of Maya. Okay, so like, what is the concept of Maya? Well, that is the deluding power. That is the world of illusion. There's plenty of people that know that something like this is going on, but they haven't been able. They haven't. Like, you've got to say, okay, what is that? How does it, then do we relate to it? What is it that we're surrounded by? Now, if you notice, right, let's talk about this in terms of an actual of what we see it doing, right? Let's just talk about the simulation in terms of what we see it doing. So when we look at what people are in and surrounded by, this 3D reality, right? Okay, last week we talked about something that Nikola Tesla had brought up, and you'll see this throughout. He said, if you want to think in terms of what's going on, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, he said, think of them in terms of energy. Let me just write these down. Frequency and vibration. All right? So energy, frequency, and vibration. He said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Now, in the simulation and in the construct that we're surrounded by, look at everything that is done to humanity and what is the intended purpose of it. Everything that is done to try to decrease your energy, to decrease your frequency, to decrease your vibration. So let's touch on a few of those. Our food supply, by and large, is under attack. You don't get your food from 150 feet outside your door. You get it from 1,500 miles away. The nutrient quality, the nutrients that are in it, gets depleted. Then people end up eating more and more food to try to get the nutrients. But that whole thing that happens around your food, people don't eat food, true food, that's actually nourishing and healthy for their body. So what does that do? That lowers your vibration. That lowers your frequency. That lowers your energy. What happens when you put fluoride in the water? Right? And the fluoride that's added into the water, this is not pharmaceutical grade fluoride. This is fluoride that's an actual derivative from the creation of fertilizer. So it's actually a chemical waste product that can't be dumped, but they can sell it. So they sell a chemical waste product to municipalities that then gets added to our water supply that cannot actually be dumped, because it would be illegal to dump it, but they can sell it. And then they put it in our water supply, and what does it do to us and our bodies? Again, back to energy, frequency, vibration. It depletes us. It destroys us in a lot of ways, and yet we drink it on a regular basis. If it had to do with cavities in your mouth, tell me, does your kidneys have cavities? No, you don't need to run something like that through your entire body. What's the end result, the end effect of something like that? So then we look at that. We look at... look at what's happening to the toxins in our environment. Look at what's happening to even just meds and medications that are people ending up taking. Look at the compounding effects of all of those things inside of people's body. Every single one of those things does what? Even though we have other options and other ways that we could do that. They decrease your energy, your frequency, your vibration. Why is that? Because for the simulation... one big thing that it needs to do is to deplete and lessen you, because when you are in a lower state, it is easier to mold you and harvest you and bring you in, right? So this is why the issue of fear is so important, and to use fear, because what does fear do? It's very low grade. Fear depletes you. When you come into a state of fear, what does that do? It actually lowers your state of being. Versus, what does the scripture say? Perfect love drives out what?
Fear.
All fear. So, I mean, and we talked about this last time, you can be in the middle of a war, bombs can be dropping outside. If somebody falls in love, and we've seen these movies where people fall in love in the middle of a wartime scenario, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter, the bombs are dropping outside, the guy finds a flower in a ditch and walks it across these shell lines and the birds are still singing, even in that wartime scenario, and people can identify with that. Why? Because it doesn't matter the external state, internally they're at a higher vibration, a higher frequency, because that happens even there. And so this is why... so much, why when you turn on the quote-unquote news, which is really propaganda, why is it always the push, here's the next round of fear, here's the next round, here's somebody that's out to get you, something that's waiting to jump off of some piece of fruit from Uganda, here's the next crazy thing that's coming to get you, right? You were fine. until you turned on that quote-unquote news, mm-hmm. which is new S with an S on it. So whatever's new, right? Here's whatever's new. New with an S. Oh, this is what's new. This is what you didn't know you had a problem. Now you have a problem. Now you need to be freaked out about that problem. You were fine until you had that information brought to you. For what purpose? For the purpose of propaganda control and back to bringing you into the simulation and back into bringing you into a low vibration, into a 3D reality where you can now be controlled. For the purpose of what? The definition that we established of what the simulation is. So, that's the attacks that are on your body. Food, water, air, toxins, Wi-Fi. Why can't we have healing Wi-Fi? You know, because we know that it's frequency-based. We know that it's packets of information. But why not tool that to something that's actually beneficial for the body? Because we know that 440 hertz is terrible for us. 528 is great. You know, like we know that there's good frequencies that things can be tuned to. Why not our cell phones actually, you want to put it close to your head because it makes you better. Instead, this thing, you know, will disrupt your body, your electrical systems, all of the other, the auric field that you have. So we have to keep these things away from us. You can't keep it in your pocket. You can't keep it in your back pocket. You keep it close to your heart, it'll disrupt your electrical systems in your body. So we know there's certain things about, you know, but we could have, if it was actually something that was purposeful, healthy systems. Things that actually are, but you start to realize that all of this around us is set against you because there's a purpose behind it. It's not by accident. It's not that people accidentally did these things. These are actually intentional. So within the Ministry of Health, we talk about healing for humanity, body, mind, spirit. But you can see the attack on humanity, body. Okay, what's the attack on the mind? Well, look at what comes through your TV. Look at what comes through, like we said, what comes through the news. Why? But that's with purpose. That's with intention. You know, I look and see some of the kids' programming today. It is very much indoctrination of what kids are being given in the form of cartoons. You know, a parent just thinks, this is not the cartoons of when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, the cartoons of today is you know, trying to normalize sexual deviant behavior, confuse sexuality, witchcraft. My gosh, if you've seen what's going on inside of the purpose of how many, just go and look, flip on to, if you have a Netflix, go on to Netflix Kids, and then just look through what's in the promoter programming and how many of them have magic and some sort of soft witchcraft involved in all the different recommended shows. If it's not half of what's the top shows recommended, I'd be surprised. But if you just go and look, it's there again and again and again, right? So, but what is this also doing is it's indoctrinating to bring and indoctrinate the next generation for a lower level, lower vibration, right? The same thing with the spirit. So it's an assault on your spirit. So then this is why, too, so many of us get world weary being in and around this, because your spirit is constantly being bombarded by the world system to try to bring you down, to try to lower. You know, like people talk about that. Like, why are you trying to bring me down? Like, what? It's actually deliberate. And those that are, and so as you get to the lower states, the world has something you have to understand about the world system. It has no power in and of itself because it's been cut off from the Most High. So where does it have to get the power, the energy? It has to get it from you. It has to get it from the child of light that's connected to Source, that's connected to the Most High. It has to get it from you. And so that's how it powers its system, because it creates nothing in and of itself. It has no connection to the source of all things. So it must live off of you. It has a gas tank that it must refill from you. But you yourself, you have that which Jesus said, you know, out of your bellies will come rivers of living water, right? It comes from inside of you. It flows from inside of you out. Versus them, where they don't have it, so they have to extract it from you. Okay? Now, in this regard, so how do you navigate this, right? So this is where we're going to spend a little bit of time. How do you navigate this system? And how do you navigate this illusion? All right? Well, there's a few statements that I've had for a long time, but they're going to start getting more and more understandable for people as time goes on. So one of them is, that I say, is be aware, but not distracted. All right. So I say be aware, but not distracted. And what does that mean? You can have an understanding about what's going on around you in this world, but you have to keep your focus on that which is actually real and that which is important. Because the world wants to draw your attention and your focus towards the things that they say is important. Because by you engaging in the things that they say, you now give attention. And by giving it attention, it actually gives it power and it makes it grow. But when you remove your attention from it, that loses power. When you remove your consent from it, they lose power. The entire company of Facebook, which is a quote-unquote on paper $90 billion company, that company goes to zero if everybody for a week stopped using it. It goes to zero. Why? It's built, the entire company is built on the attention economy. It's built on you providing your attention, your content. They don't produce any content. It's you. You're the one giving content. You're the one giving engagement. As soon as people stop using it, it stops working. That's the same thing with the world. As soon as you stop, but you can be aware of what the world is doing, but not distracted. You can be aware of what's going on around you, but your focus can remain on the things that are actually important, yeah. Right? The next one, and this is something, is that this goes back a long time. It goes back to that dream of the wave of light. Say, ride the wave. Now, what does that mean? Well, one thing about who we are as eternal beings in this space is that when you allow for the Spirit of the Living God to guide you, to lead you, to direct you, what you're able to do is you're able to flow with what the Spirit of God is doing, and you don't take your identity and your cue from this world, but you allow for that free flow to be able to navigate through this world. And so this is where the quickening that's necessary, because you recognize they've been building a better mousetrap all the time, right? And by the way that they've been building the better mousetrap, if you rely on your own understanding, because what does the scripture say in Proverbs? There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So a lot of things that are going to seem right to us in our natural carnal mind, but those the enemy of your soul and the system itself has mapped those out 1,000 times over to trap you and to snare you in back into the world. This is why you want to flow with the Spirit, because He will show you how to go through. And sometimes it won't make sense to you and yourself, but He will quicken you so that you know how. And this is where my analogy of this one is to say, imagine you just learned how to play the game of chess, right? You just learned, you know, rook, you know, from b2 to a4. You just learned the basics, right? And then all of a sudden you're going to have to now play a game for your life, and you sit across from Bobby Fischer. Now, if you try to play that of your own accord, you're going to get schooled. But if you hear the quickening from the source of all, from the Most High, He can give you the moves that you need to be able to overcome. But you got to hear. And if you don't hear and you don't listen and you don't follow, then you will try to do, oh, I think this is what I should do. But you get destroyed every time. So we have to be listening and hearing, and it's going to come inside of you, right? So now this goes back to the earlier series, how to change your life, right? How to change your world, how to change your reality. So you've got to be something that comes inside of you. And then from what comes inside of you, then you have to do, bless you. When it comes inside of you, and then what do you have to do? Well, the book of Acts was written because why? Because they acted, right? And so this is one thing too, where the children of God so often get stuck because they've been trained to know the will of God just to consider it, but to not actually do it. we actually have to do. And it's in the action, it's in your doing that things change. Now, here's a big part to understand. The backdrop of what's happening around us will do what it's doing. But your personal experience and your life and your reality here will be, can be completely different than the experience of that which is going on in and around the world around you. But the difference is that you have to know that this simulation is there to try to draw you in and to get you to believe that which is fake is real. But you, by you taking action and you doing what the Spirit of God quickens you to do, that will actually change your reality. That will actually change your world. That will actually change your personal experience in it. Right? Okay. So, being aware but not distracted. Here's how I use a ratio. Because that's just kind of my nature. I say 90-10. So I say 10% of my time I would give to being aware. But I'm going to spend 90% of my time. I'm not even going to do 80-20. I'm doing like 90-10. Like 10%, okay, I'm generally aware about where the backdrop of this thing is going. But I'm going to spend the bulk of my time, the bulk of my focus, engaged in that which is in line with what the Spirit of God puts in you to do, the focus that He gives you, the actions that He tells you to do. Put your time, your energy, your focus in there. And so often, sometimes people say, hey, did you hear about this? No, I didn't. I didn't hear about what's going on. Well, did you know about what's going on? No, I missed it. Well, it's come and gone. Everybody got hyped up about it. Yeah. It comes, it goes, and the world's still spinning, but I'm supposed to be engaged in the thing that the Most High gives us to do, right?
Yeah.
So 90-10. I check a couple headlines here and there. I've got a couple groups that, yeah.
It's probably reversed for most people.
No, it is. Most people, the world tries to actually get them so busy that they spend this 90% of their time in the simulation, and then just occasionally they'll stop and say, wait, is this right? Is this the way it's supposed to be? Oh, somebody died. Oh my gosh. What's life about? Right? That 2-hour thought process of, oh my gosh, and then they go to the funeral, you know, they have a drink with some friends and they get done, and then they go back into the simulation, back into the false construct, back into the false reality. So I say 90-10 the other way. 90% of your focus should be, and this is where you have to spend enough time where the Most High can show you, direct you, so what you can do and how you can relate to your experience here. All right, so now let me give you a few things that you can do practically, some practical things that you can do in your own personal practice to be able to comprehend within yourself what is that direction for you so that you can action it, right? Okay, so here's one thing that we know too. There's always the attempt of the world to try to lower your vibration, lower your frequency, to get you malleable, right? To get you disconnected from who you really are. Now, the higher... Let me sketch out one more thing here. So the higher sense of you, if you start coming up in your frequency, right? If you start coming up in your frequency, well, the overlap here, the degree to which you overlap with the world is the degree to which you're in the simulation. The higher your frequency goes, the more and more disconnected that you are from it. So now, what are the things that you can do for your transition out of the simulation and into your true self? All right. So there's your true self. Because your true self is seated in heavenly places, right? So your true self is, so if you want to interact with this dimension, well, you can interact with this dimension, but from a place of from a place of comprehension, from a place of knowing who you truly are. And then when you engage here, you do it on purpose. You engage here from a position of power, not from a position of a false construct. But in order to be able to do that, you've got to recognize some of the things that you can do. Okay, so let's go back to body, mind, spirit. Well, anything that goes, helps you to go the other way in upping your energy, your frequency, your vibration, right? Anything that takes you this way is going to be helpful. So back to food, okay? Eating high vibration foods that are nutritious, what's that going to do in your body? That's going to improve and solve a lot of things. Cleaning out the toxins out of your water, decreasing some of the switching the Wi-Fi off at night will, you know, and not letting that bounce through and not upset your circadian rhythms while your body sleeps, what's that going to do? You're going to get better rest, right? I mean, there's so each of these things where you just start going through and just do a life audit and say, okay, let me just look at some things in body, in mind, in spirit. So if you look at your body, what are the things that you can do that will increase these areas? In your mind, cut the garbage out. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, and this is why, for example, with, like, say, with men, get rid of porn. Serious. I mean, like, there's something that if you want to talk about something that's going to send your frequency down, and it's, you know, you get a dopamine hit, but it's going to collapse your spirit. It's going to stick you right in here. And so you want to, now why? For your benefit. For your life experience, for you to be actually, so there's actually a really strong upside for this when you start to realize why the world does what it does and the benefit for you coming up and out, right, of all of this. So into your true self. So body, mind, spirit. So look at each one of those things. Take a life audit and a life assessment, because eventually you get to the place where there is no overlap. And you can actually be here on purpose. And that's the way that Jesus was, actually, while he was here. Jesus was here. The Word became flesh, but they had nothing in him. Remember when they were coming to get him? And he said, look, you know, the prince of the power of the earth, this is his time. He's coming to get me, but he's got nothing in me. You know, I'm not in it. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. So he's not in the simulation, but he's here. And so his conducting of himself here, and this is also why miraculous was his experience here, because when he, and this is why reality changed and bended to his will, because he was, when he now acted, he was acting in the simulation, but not as one in it. So the simulation ended up having to conform to that which was of the higher state. So there's actually a scientific background to this. There's a science behind this. There's a math behind this. There's a reality construct behind this. It's not just, oh, he said the right word. You know, there's actually a place of being. And he said, look, now that you've seen me do these things, you go and do likewise. Okay, so what are some things that we can do? Well, you know, there are some aspects to even in your own body that you can do. Spending time in prayer, in meditation, is something that actually does make a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's actually, it's not just, oh, let me go and, no, it's you stopping, you connecting with the Most High. If you do that, and you just cut that time out, if you look at even a brain scan, after 15 minutes, after 25 minutes, what you'll see is over time, the brain, the left and the right hemispheres of the brain actually sync. And you are actually, by about 25 minutes in, you're actually at a place where you're able to better receive messages and instructions that come from the Most High than if you didn't do that. Because it actually brings a physiological balance into your body. You know, there's certain things that build up in your body from this kind of okay, why was a disciple was a disciplined person? You know, so it's not just a name that was given. It was actually it's part of a life commitment that was made. And the process of making that life commitment was, by pursuing a particular discipline, you get a build up and a benefit in your life by doing the right things. So we've seen in your health, the buildup of toxicity in your body, the buildup of exposure to bad things over a period of time. So we see what that does on the negative side, right? But then the flip of that is on the positive side. If you do the things that are from truth and from the higher state consistently, you now build up a reservoir, a depth within yourself that now can be drawn on, and it actually takes you to a higher state. So there's declassified, and you can look this one up, June 1983, Wayne McDonald. It was a CIA declassified program that they tried to figure out on the syncing of the left and right brains and the what that did in the body. And you can actually see for people that spend and build up a practice of, even within themselves, of meditation, prayer, and those type of disciplines, it actually creates a bio, actually creates a resonance even within their body with their heartbeat. When their heart beats, and then it bounces through in their body, and it actually gets into a sinking level of the bifurcation echo. That's this seven, it's this communication of this ability to receive, because you can hear your own heartbeat. You can actually get to the point where, and you sometimes people have talked about this when they get into those states, oh, they can hear their heart beating inside of them or the rest of it. But it's actually something that creates a resonance, a buildup of even the auric field around them. And what it does is it actually allows for the drawing in of far more energy, far more power, and far more ability to hear and to receive. And this is what's interesting about the negative side of this, of when these groups have done these research studies, when they know this, then what do? They do everything they can to keep people away from that, not to draw them into that. So you say, okay, if prayer is so powerful, if meditation is so powerful, if these kind of practices are so powerful, shouldn't you be encouraging people to do that, to find their true self? No, they do everything they can to convert people's attention span today is shorter than that of a goldfish. That's actually the studies now that have come out, because they have been so herky-jerky through the TikToks of this world to just get people, just their dopamine so spliced that they can't actually, they're being disconnected from their true self as much as possible. So there are things that you can do in your regular being, but this takes discipline, it takes focus, it takes a commitment towards that, and it takes you comprehending who you are in an eternal sense, recognizing that you are real in a world that is not, and moving in the reality of who you are, raising your frequency, raising your vibration, allowing for your energy to come up too, and then as you operate in this reality and in this construct, you operate in this as from a higher dimensional state, because you are seated in heavenly places now. From that place, you now operate here, and you operate now in this place, and you are the reality changers. You are the world changers. And you, the larger thing, the whole world is going to do what it does, but your experience in it will be very powerful and is going to be very different than everyone else around you. And that can be your experience in and through this, because that was what Jesus did, and he said, go and do likewise. So with that, I think we're going to stop here for the day. Let's just pray and we'll close. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for this time. And we just bless everyone that hears this day. And we thank you, Father, that you've called us to be in the world but not of it. And you've also quickened us of what that is and how that manifests. And Father, we move in the truth and in the reality of who we are in you. And we're just so blessed for that reality that's been made manifest in Jesus and in who we are in him. So bless each and every one of us. We thank you and we pray.